News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
We can dance if we want to, we can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, places they will never find.
On June 7th, we're actually calling all churches in Escambia County. We're gonna extend it to Baldwin and to Santa Rosa County as well, but we're gonna have a Places of Worship Preparedness Seminar. And so basically, what we're trying to do is to get the church to take care of their folks, the folks that are in their congregations.
This is a very good common sense step. That's Travis Tompkins. He's the EMS manager, the emergency manager. He's the emergency manager. Emergency manager is the person who handles all of the emergency response for, like, disasters and events. EMS is Emergency Medical Service. DPS, Director of Public Safety, that's the guy who's the boss over all of them, including the other one, ECFR, the Escambia County Fire Rescue. There, did I prove my acronym awareness? Anyway, Travis... I get my merit badge. Travis Tompkins, Davis would be so proud of me. Travis Tompkins, they're talking about an upcoming meeting where they're going to brief all of the church people about, hey, in emergency, here's how you can be helpful, which is a great plan. It's the kind of thing you're like, it's so good, why didn't anybody do it before? Well, we're doing it now, okay? Including, you know, churches from outside the particular area here, because they may well be involved in disaster response as well. Joining us now, we have one of the other acronym owners, the Director of Public Safety, DPS, Eric Gilmore, who used to be Travis Tompkins back in the day, and he is no longer there. He's his boss now. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, Andrew, thank you very much. Good job on getting your acronyms right.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I knew as soon as I said the wrong one, I'm like, oh, I got to correct this. All my guys are going to be like, Andrew. So, this is not the main reason I wanted to have you on, but because, of course, we were hanging out yesterday for the pre-hurricane season briefing, the media get-together yesterday. I wanted to give you a chance to tell people just the basic, in case they hadn't been thinking about it, we are a day away from hurricane season. And particularly, for a couple of years now, you and I have been telling people that the new standard is not 72 hours. The new standard is 7 days, right?
That is absolutely correct. Hurricane season is one day away, and it is 6 long months. So it'll end November 3rd. So I want everybody to remember that, because everybody seems to think, I get through September or October, we're done. That's not the case. And we are asking everybody not to be 70. This, you know, first 72 is on you. That's no longer the slogan. It's 1 week ready. We're asking everybody to be 1 week ready. Have all your supplies, non-perishables, medications, things you need to be successful, to make it through and recover from a disaster. So 1 week ready is what we're asking.
You know, I hate to tell you this, but I know you already know it's true. The first 72 is on you is catchy. 1 week ready is not catchy.
It is. Yeah, I get you. I get you. You're right. It's pretty catchy. But 72 hours is kind of it could be, just depending on the size of the storm or how bad we're impacted, it could put it on a resource coming in. And we might make that 2-hour window. So that's why we ask everybody to be 1 week ready. I mean, even after Sally, and Sally was not a major hurricane, we still had issues with flooding to the east, not only the barges and the bridges, but the flooding of the interstate. The resources are coming from the east to the west. They were, you know, 48 hours delayed because they had to trek up through Alabama and Georgia and come back down. So, you know, it could impact our delivery system for our resources coming in for recovery.
Nothing will remind us, or people in general, how vulnerable our area is to weather. And a reminder that we live on a peninsula, you know, you don't think about it that way, but we do. And it can feel a little bit like an island sometimes, even though it might not exactly be, that, you know, the wrong road becomes impassable and disaster response can be dramatically affected. As everybody who lived through Ivan, I did not, but everybody who did certainly knows with I-10. The main reason I wanted to have you on today, actually, it's kind of ironic, the scheduling, but I had wanted to ask you about Pulse Point, which if people are not familiar, Pulse Point was an app on your phone where you could watch in real time all of the local emergency response from cardiac calls, EMS, fire. It would even tell you the number of trucks involved and who was on the scene and all of this stuff. It was a really great resource for those of us who were concerned about such things. And then one day it wasn't there anymore. It just kind of stopped working. And you're like, what's going on? And it would it said, well, temporarily unavailable. Well, how temporarily? Okay, so I wanted to ask you about that. What happened to Pulse Point, Eric?
Okay, so we were spending around 14,000.
You know what, Eric, hang on. I'm going to get a traffic break, and yeah. Then you can okay me all you like, because I know this is a long explanation.
Okay.
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Fair enough.
Roads are fine. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, let us know. Text them in.
There we go. There, okay,
I know.
So one more time.
I want to know about
what
Pulse
happened
Point.
To Pulse Point. Eric's first answer. Okay, listen to the saga.
Okay.
Go on, though. Go on.
All right. So while we were running Pulse Point for about 4 years, we were spending around $14,000 a year on Pulse Point. Now, the intent of Pulse Point was to have community involvement, and anybody who was CPR trained or could render aid, the intent was if you were in the area, you would get the notification that there was a cardiac arrest or some kind of emergency in your area that maybe you could stop and assist and render aid. In four years of running that app,
okay. The purpose was not just to give Andrew McKay awareness of what ECFR was doing. The purpose was that all the people who have citizen skills and could respond to an emergency that was close to them could set it up to be notified that, hey, we got this incident coming. Come help if you can. And you're saying in 4 years that never happened.
That is absolutely correct.
Okay, all right.
That's right. So the major use of the app was the public, which is, like I said, putting our information out, it's always good information.
Yep.
Watch what this regard. So everybody liked it. If there was a backup on the interstate or on one of our roads or something, they would pull up Pulse Point to see if anything went on in that general direction. And that's great. But for $14,000 a year, that's not something that I'm getting return on investment. The other major use of it was our fire system. Our guys were getting pre-alerts with Pulse Point, which means on the call taker side, when you call 911, you first talk to a call taker. While that call taker is building that call out, Pulse Point would take that early notification and push it out to the masses that there's this situation going on. So our fire units would get, say, 3 to 4 minute earlier response than dispatching them. So they use it for early response.
So because of the way the calls are processed, firemen were getting two to 3 to 4 minute lead on the actual official dispatch order because of the way Pulse Point was operating within the system. Is that right?
That is absolutely
correct.
Because
that's a huge advantage fighting fires. Okay, all right, cool. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Nope, it is. You're absolutely right. So they've taken that information and going, okay, so the public is not using it to respond or render aid if they're in the area. The fire guys and our emergency system, they like it for the pre-alert or the notification. What can we do? What's out there? So we looked around and we found I am responding. So I am responding. And anybody who played with Pulse Point knows that it's not interactive. It is just information only. So you just get a flash of where the incident is, what the major category of the incident is, and who's on scene. So we looked around and found I am responding. I am responding does that pre-alert just like Pulse Point. So our fire guys don't miss the pre-alert.
Okay.
So they'll get the early notification.
Got it.
But Pulse Point also has an interactive side to it. So our volunteer firefighters and anybody who's set up in the group, it's a subscriber base, and we're spending around $4,500 a year for this app for us to be interactive and for our units to be able to respond to each other. That I one click on, I am responding, and it'll show you the mapping to the incident. It'll show you who's en route to you. You can message inside the group, so it's more interactive. It meets our need to our emergency services, and though the public can't see it because it's subscription use only, but like I said, we were not getting a return on investment. So we was trying to find something that was amenable to do what Pulse Point did for our emergency response, to do pre-alerts, but also be interactive and help us out with notifications to the volunteers, and then the volunteers can interact with each other and know who's responding to the station to grab a truck or get to a scene.
Okay, so the goal of having the Pulse Point wasn't accomplished, the main goal of getting people to help out. The incidental benefit of Pulse Point was the early response. That's available in the I Am Responding app as well, so that was kept. You're saving $9,500 a year, and you've got an app that is much more interactive for the really for the people who need to know and people who need to be involved in it. And the only real downside of all this is in saving the money and getting a really more useful app, just that we, the public, because we're not subscribers, we don't have a login, and so we don't have access to the public information. But that wasn't the purpose of it in the first place anyway. So, okay, all right, that makes sense to me.
That is the best synopsis you could. Yes, sir. That's exactly what it is. So it's nothing. Unfortunately, I would like the information to be out there to the public, but until we can, you know, maybe there's an app or to develop it where it'll be more not subscriber-based, more user-based mm-hmm. with a better rate. We're still looking. We're always looking to improve, and that's why we come up with this, to see how this works with us, interacts with us, and how we can improve our system and keep our pre-alerts, because that was important. That was definitely important to the fire guys. So that way we can get that early notification.
Yeah, seriously, you know, in all the times we've talked about fire response, getting 3 extra minutes ahead of schedule is an enormous advantage in fighting fires. Because what is the rule? It's a doubling in a minute, right, once the fire is underway?
That is absolutely correct, Andrew. Okay. You listen.
So that's a big deal. All right. Well, I appreciate it. And I appreciate you explaining that, because I know a lot of people have been asking me, Andrew, you know what happened to, you know, Pulse Point? I'm like, it's still there. I just don't think we're participating in it anymore. But now that we understand that as well. Hey, I always like to give you a chance to brag on the department. I know we just got the Lucas devices. Those automatic compression devices are on our EMS trucks now. We're working on the Paradise Beach location for the new firehouse. We're working on still number 2 over there on 9 Mile Road. Anything else you just want to let people know about that's going on, Eric?
No, I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal what we've got going on right now with the new Station 2, Beulah being built over there. I do want to brag about the Lucas devices, because that was a package with the ALS 360. When we did the ALS 360, the 10-year lock-in pricing, and we get new equipment in 5 years, and then we own it at the end of it. So all our ambulances now have Lucas devices. On the last board meeting, we had to go back to the board and ask for an amendment to the contract, because we are ordering 8 new ambulances that should be in, we're hoping, August of this year. So I had to get more equipment to go on the 8 new ambulances that we're bringing in. And then we got 6 more coming on the backside of it, but we don't know what the build time is on those. So we do have our first three fire trucks that we ordered back in 2021?
Yeah.
They'll be in town. They'll be in town next month. And those things put to service and put the hoses on and get those trucks to service. So we got a ladder, an engine, and a squad. So we're excited to have those 3 additional pieces of equipment coming in town next month and getting those things in service. And then we'll have that ladder truck that we was fortunate to get sometime in October, November timeframe that we were looking forward to get that and put into service as well. So we got a lot of equipment coming in. We got a lot of good things going on. We're pretty excited, you know.
Where is the squad going to be deployed? That's the one that has all of the different equipment to be able to rescue people and get people out of trenches and entrapments and all that kind of stuff. There's one over at Marcus Point right now. Where is that squad going to be? Do you know?
So yes, I do. So we've got 3. It'll be the 3rd squad in the county. So we've got a north, central, south squad. So it'll be going to McDavid, Station 9, and north end of the county. So it'll run, you know, Cantonment, Molina, Walnut Hill, Century, McDavid area. Those guys will have the specialty equipment. They'll be trained on the specialty equipment. Then we got squad 3 that's at Marcus Point on W Street.
Yeah.
And then we got squad 14, which is down at Pleasant Grove. So
okay.
We'll have a north, central, south squad. That way those trucks can carry more of the heavy rescue equipment and not have to burden all the other engines in the area with the duplicate equipment. So that was the intended purpose of the squad system.
Perfect. Well, Eric, I know it's always good information. I could talk to you for an hour because it's just important stuff and there's always news going on. But Eric Gilmore, he is the Escambia County Director of Public Safety. Eric, as always, man, thanks for what you do keeping us safe. Thanks for helping out yesterday. And please pass along, as always, my thanks to everybody who works for you for what they do for this county, sir. I appreciate it.
I want to do that. Thank you very much for what you do for informing the citizens and getting information. I do appreciate it very much, sir. Thank you.